This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I got John Hancock hanging out with me today, final hour. Chris Ranji on the Chris and Amy show. Amy is on vacation.
This is going to be our finest hour, to quote Winston Churchill.
I hope so. I hope it's something close to that. Well, we know that the economy has taken a little bit of hit, in particular, the stock markets in recent weeks, in the last couple of days, has not been, well, all that pretty. So to talk about it with us is the partner and managing director of One Private Wealth. He is the host of KMOX's Dollars and Cents. And Dave Simons, our guy, is with us on the guest line. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Chris. Hey, John.
Hey there. So how are we doing today?
Oh, we're only down a mere 600-plus points and still falling as we speak. So it's another rough day. As you know, Trump announcing additional tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum, everything. And so that's really what the market's fixated on. It's just singly focused now on what's coming out of the White House.
So this is the question, because I know that I've heard you talk about this before, and I have always thought, I'm not an expert, but I've always thought that maybe we give the president too much credit or too much criticism for the economy. Are there any exceptions to that? Is it possible that a president can do something that makes a dramatic shift in what's going on economically?
Oh, absolutely, Chris. And you make a good point in that. You're exactly right. Most of the time, presidents are given too much credit or too much blame, because there are just economic factors that can be put in place years ago that are just starting to manifest themselves and affecting the president in place. But this is clearly because of the chaos that's occurring right now. And that's not a pro or anti-Trump comment at all. I'll leave politics to others to debate. This is strictly from an economic and market viewpoint here. And so Wall Street needs clarity. Wall Street thrives on clarity. Nobody has a perfect crystal ball, of course. But when you've got chaos theory, Wall Street doesn't know what to do with that. So it tends to sell first and then worry about what might come down the road. And right now, there is simply no clarity. And that's what you're getting with the stock market, a pretty good size sell-off.
You know, I came up through public education, so what do I know about tariffs? But what I do know about tariffs is that I don't like them. And it boggles my mind that anybody would think sweeping across the board tariffs is sound policy. What is driving the president, who clearly has embraced tariffs, believes it's, you know, the soundest of economic policies, believes it's going to make America wealthy again? What does he know that I don't know?
Well, here's the deal with Donald Trump. He is a very savvy business guy, but he's not an economics guy. I mean, and by his own admission, and others around him will say that he doesn't really care to get steeped in the policy part of economics, and that what certain things, look, there are tentacles that spread out of any decision that comes out of the White House that have a lot of unintended consequences. And I don't know that the Trump administration really thought through a lot of this. They're, you know, by their own admission, they're very nationalistic, make America great again, America first. And that's fine. But when you come in with a chainsaw and at the same time, really no defined plan other than we are going to put in a bunch of draconian tariffs because we don't like what other countries have been doing to us, and then not really have a defined plan or really even an end game. And that's, John, that's what I would kind of ask as that rhetorical question, too. And that is, what is the end game here? Is it to get our trading partners to bend the knee and say, OK, enough? Because if that's the case, all of a sudden there seems to be more resolve from these other countries. So I don't know what the end game is. Wall Street doesn't know what the end game is. Therefore, we have this big correction.
Yeah. And, you know, you're seeing all of this play out. You know, when we negotiate with Mexico and Canada, which President Trump did in his first term, they'll carve out a couple of industries where they want and feel the need to protect. And that's an agreement that we make. Everything else is free across the board. Right. And so this rhetoric that they're, you know, killing us and taking advantage of us, that's all the product of negotiation.
It is, and I have no problem with targeted tariffs. There's no question that some countries have taken advantage of our insatiable appetite to consume. And that's really what this is all about. We are going to run trade deficits because we are the world's reserve currency, and nobody consumes goods and services like Americans. So there is no way that we're ever going to be able to produce everything that Americans need and want. So we are going to run trade deficits. That's just going to happen. And in some cases, does China take advantage of that? Yeah, they absolutely do. So I think it's okay that you look at certain one-offs and say, look, we're going to slap 10% tariff on that particular product. But this, even the top economists out there on the conservative side of things, who normally would be very supportive of a Republican administration, are left scratching their heads going, this is not the way to do it. And I don't understand this tit for a tat, because historically, any economic historian will tell you there's never any winners when it comes to a tariff war. In fact, the real losers are the people on Main Street, the mom and pops, the small business owners. And that's what we're suffering from right now.
It's us. We're going to lose here, it seems like. Dave Simons, financial expert, is with us on KMOX, again, the host of Dollars and Cents. And we've been talking a little bit about the stocks here, and the market has really not responded well to all of this tariff stuff. So some people listening will say, well, I don't own individual stocks. Why do I care? This isn't my problem. Why is the stock market, or why does the stock market affect people who don't necessarily own stocks, whether directly or indirectly?
Yeah, it gets into that tentacle thing, Chris, in that even if someone doesn't own stocks, they may go to the grocery store and see that prices are higher because of tariffs that have been put on certain agricultural products. They may go buy a car and say, wow, why is this car 15% higher? I don't know, because of all the steel and aluminum that goes into that. And if you also then have an economy that starts to weaken and you get job cuts, then that could also affect somebody who has a job in one of these industries, may not have a dollar in the stock market, but this economy, this multi-trillion dollar economy is so connected that's why economists will tell you that there really is no ultimate winner when you get into this kind of a draconian tit-for-tat tariff war. It affects virtually everybody ultimately. Now, I know that I sound like there's a little bit, I'm kind of on my high horse and I'm very worried and I'm not too happy about this. Yeah, there's some truth to that. But I also believe there is something that's going to, I'm not overly bearish. Let me put it this way. I think at some point, people in the administration start to pull back once they see the pain. And I'm not predicting a major crash in the market. This isn't 2008 again, I don't think. That's my opinion. But I think we could still see some weakness here in the near term.
Yeah, so that's what they keep saying. The line is temporary pain, and then we're just going to have to get past this. And then on the other side of it, everything will be better. And Donald Trump the other day said, we're going to have so much money, we won't even know how to spend it as a result of all this. First of all, what does temporary pain mean? Because that's great if you're a billionaire, whatever, temporary pain. But if you're an average person who loses their job, that's not great. You got to go find a new job. So what does temporary pain mean? And then ideally, what is the payoff for it?
Yeah, nobody knows what temporary means, of course. I have no idea. Nobody does how much more of this we have to have. Look, we have to look at the person of Donald Trump, at least what most of us know from a distance. We don't know him personally. But I think there's a pretty good track record and public persona record of the kind of way that he likes to manage. And he does not like to lose. He's never going to ever take the knee to anybody. So I think maybe what is surprising him, frankly, is that some of the other countries that have decided, no, we're done with this. We are going to retaliate. And let me tell you something. When you look at the stock markets of other countries right now, like in Europe, they are up double digits year to date. China's stock market has been doing better. It's almost like make Europe great again is what's happening. As these countries have rallied around each other, we're seeing that in Canada, of course, where you have liquor stores saying we're not going to even put American lager in our stores anymore. And I don't know how long that goes, but that's the unintended consequences that, frankly, I'm not sure Donald Trump really put in his calculus in this. So what is the end game? I think at some point he's going to have to pull back from this, find a way that he can still declare himself a winner in all this. I'm not sure how he's going to do it, but that's the only way that this pain finally stops, and I hope it's sooner rather than later.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Dave Simons is our guest. He's the host of the Dollars and Cents show, heard here on KMOX. Dave, you mentioned earlier trade deficits and the balance of payments between how much we import versus how much we export. That's a big deal for President Trump. I've never considered the balance of payments to be something that really mattered. Is that accurate?
It is 100% accurate. I write a weekly commentary that goes out every Friday, and that's exactly one of the themes I had in last week's commentary. And I showed that the tariffs that we put on other countries has been historically low for decades. And yet, during that time, we continue to emerge as the global economic superpower with low tariffs, with running trade deficits with more than 100 countries. I think that surprises people. It's not just a few select countries in Europe or Canada or China. Most countries that we do business with, we run a deficit with. There aren't very many countries that we actually have a surplus. And yet, despite that, that's supposed to be so horrible and terrible, we continue to take more global economic market share. So this is really disrupting the total global economic order that we've been used to for a couple of decades. And if you're asking me how this thing is going to end, I have no idea. The market doesn't either. And that's why it's selling off, because it has no clarity here.
You raised a great point earlier about our behavior as Americans, that we consume as much as we possibly can, and we want it as cheap as possible. So that is directly at odds with, well, we need to make everything here in America. How do you get people to understand that? Because I think the people who are in business and who those who are executives, they know this. People with money know this. How do you get the average American to understand that? That, yes, we could be doing better in the trade deficit area if we stopped consuming so much and didn't demand everything be as cheap as possible.
Well, that's exactly right, Chris. And I don't know how you necessarily educate a lot of people on that other than to say, look, when a car is made, especially when there's trade between Canada and the U.S., there are some parts that go back and forth 6, 7, 8 times.
Yep.
And back and forth and back and forth. You just can't stop that. Now, look, I'm all for bringing manufacturing jobs here. We're all pro-American, right? We all want us to have more jobs to thrive. But the reality is, because we like to insatiably consume at cheap prices, you're going to have to turn the U.S. economy upside down and pay lower wages to try to keep those prices down. And so there's been a very fine balance. Let free market principles work. And they've worked just fine. Now, yes, if a country is taking advantage of us, and like I already pointed, China is maybe the worst culprit, then you can do selective tariffs. There's no question. But if you're running a deficit with Canada, because that's the way the economic system works best, I don't understand this whole thing like, well, that's not fair. And so we're going to stop this. And we're only doing this because of the fentanyl traffic. I'm getting off topic there, but that's the thing that troubles me, because this isn't really about economics. This is about settling scores to some degree that has nothing to do with economics. So I keep saying I don't know what the end game is, because I don't know where else we go from here, and the market is going to continue to weaken until we do get to some kind of settlement on Trump is finally satisfied. We've seen enough pain. This is where we're going to end. I do believe, I'm an optimist by heart. I do believe there are negotiations going on behind the scenes between various people within central banks and governments that's going to finally pull us back from the brink of something more ominous. Because if not, and I hate to end like this, but if not, we have a potential Smoot-Hawley type tariff. Yeah. And I'll let others fill in the blank what that means.
Yeah, you know, and of all the points you've made, excellent points you made today, the one that's stuck with me is the way out of this is to find a mechanism for President Trump to claim victory and get off the tariffs. And I don't know what that looks like either. Last thing, real quick. When we tax these goods that are coming over, you're going to get fewer of them. Now, that's just a basic law of economics. If you want less of something, tax it. Right. And so that means the demand's going to be there. And so that's going to be inflationary inherently in and of itself. But it also then, when the cost of foreign goods now exceeds what we're able to charge for American products, the American business who's in the business of making profit is going to raise their prices too, just below the level of that foreign import. And so this thing is going to potentially have a pretty severe inflationary effect, isn't it?
It is. Again, economic history points that out. John, I think what finally might bring this to some sort of settlement would be this, where you have people within, I mean, huge donors, let's say, the wealthy Republican GOP types who are totally on board with what's going on, who are big-time Trump supporters. That's not going to change. But they get his ear and they say, look, Mr. President, America's kind of hurting right now. And my business, I'm not hiring right now. I want to expand, but I'm not going to until I have clarity. Again, this is the unintended consequence part, the tentacles that are spread through this very connected trillion-dollar economy. And so as people, as big business sits back and doesn't do anything and doesn't expand and also worried about inflation, it's going to take influential business types, Wall Street types, to get the ear of the White House to say, we need to settle this. We need to pull this back because otherwise I don't see a real end to this. I think it's going to happen. I think it may already be happening, but that's what it's going to take to stop this.
Dave Simons, the host of Dollars and Cents here on KMOX, a partner and managing director of One Private Health. As always, we appreciate your help. Thank you for being with us today, Dave.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, John, as always.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.